Thank you, Lord. Our King is alive. Amen. He's alive. He's risen. He is risen indeed. Yes. And there's hope. You know, if none of this was true, then there'd be no hope. There'd be no reason to get together. There'd be no eternal life. There'd be no forgiveness. We have hope for this one thing, that Jesus lives. And because he lives, I live. And that's, and I think that's the part we need to get to today. We need to understand that today, that this isn't just about, you know, good for you, Jesus. Good for you, Jesus. You made it. You rose from the dead. Good for you, Jesus. No, it's good for me. Good for me, Jesus. Because I couldn't do any part of this. Only Jesus could do it. He did all of it. Good for me, Jesus, because I get to live. I live eternally. I have forgiveness of sins. I get a new start because we believe in a God who gives us second chances and new beginnings, a God of grace, a God who has his arms opened and says, just come to me. Come to me. Confess your sins, and I am righteous, and I am holy, and I will forgive you all of your sins. And I've done it. I paid the price. My blood covers all of your sins, all of it. Amen. I was thinking last night, you know, and sometimes you get this feeling that, or I get this feeling, you don't get this feeling, I get this feeling that, you know, okay, it's got to be super special today. I have to make this super special today. And then God just kind of did this. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, so I wish you wouldn't knock me on the head at 4 o'clock in the morning, but he said, you know, you don't need to make this special. This is not up to you to make this special. You don't need to generate this. You don't need to choreography this. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is just tell the truth. And if we need someone to generate this, or we need a cheerleader to make this so that we all get excited about it, then there's something tragically wrong. If we can't get excited in our own hearts today because of what Jesus has done, you know, we shouldn't need anyone to rah-rah us into celebrating what's going on today. Thank you, Lord. So you're going to play a part in this service because God speaks and God is alive in you. He's alive in every one of us. And we're going to open up the mics, and there's going to be one in the back, and Jeff's going to have the one in the back. I'm going to have the one here. I know that sometimes you don't want to talk in a mic, but we do it for a couple of reasons. It's really important that everyone hears what you have to say, but also we record this so that other people, there's people in treatment centers and in prison and other places that are listening to the service later on. I don't think they get it live, but I want them to hear too. So here's the question today. You're alive because of Christ's resurrection. What is the difference in your life between being dead and between being alive? What's the difference? What was it like, in other words, what was it like to be dead? Not that you need to go back there and live that all over again, but what is the difference that the resurrection, that empty tomb, what difference has that made in your life? I'm just going to ask you to be brief, and I say this a lot, but the reason for that is because I want lots of people to have opportunity, but the other thing is that normally the longer we talk, the more it becomes about us. And just keep it short so that it's about God. Let's keep this about God and about what that life is that you have. Who's going to be first? Yep.
That the things that have been holding you back, that you need to let those things go now, that the things that have been interrupting your life with me, you need to let those things go now. Repent, because I'm coming. Repent, because this is the truth. Repent, because this is the life. Repent, because this is my life in you. Not your life, not for your glory, but for my glory. Repent and follow me with all that you are. This is the time.
Yes.
This is the season to follow me. potter's hands, I call you to repentance in the name of Jesus, that you would follow him, that you would let go, and that you would line up with his will for his glory. And may the Lord our God bless us. May the Lord our God rise upon us. May the Lord our God do his will among us, that we might know his glory. And so, Jesus, we praise you for your word this morning. Mm-hmm. We praise you that you are the Lord our God, that you are the one who reigns in righteousness. We praise you, Lord, that it's not by our flesh, and as Pastor Stan assured, it's only by your spirit, and we give you the glory, amen, the honor, the praise, and the power. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You need to hear that. We can repent. This is the time to repent. This is a day of new beginnings. God is always ready to receive whoever comes on their knees and with a contrite heart. You understand?
It seems like when you don't have the Lord, you don't have a reason for living, and he gives you a reason to live, yes, and he gives you a purpose. Every one of us is called for a purpose.
Amen. Kim, can you stand up? Not only can you stand up, you do stand up, and God's healing you, right? Isn't that a great thing?
I was so lonely and so empty and thought drugs would make me better. And since I started coming here and since I was born again, I have a life. I have a smile. I have a hope. Mm-hmm. I have everything now. And I just feel like the Lord is right beside me. Amen. And it's the most miraculous, wonderful feeling in the world.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Kim. God bless.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When I didn't have Jesus, I was lost, but now I'm found. When I didn't have Jesus, I was broken, but now I am whole. When I didn't have Jesus, I was full of fear. But with Jesus, now I am full of his love and I am full of his confidence. Thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. And if you are lost now, he's here to find you. If you are broken here today, he is here to make you whole. And if you are full of fear here today, he is here to set you free. And he is here to put his hope and his glory and his love in you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And you don't always know what to say. When we were praising earlier, and the song said, when he calls my name, and I thought to myself, he knows who I am. Of all the million people in the world, of the hundreds of people that are here, he knows who I am. And when you're brought up with no value, being told that you can't do anything right, that you will never succeed, to know that he knows who I am doesn't matter about anything else.
I stopped reading my Bible here for a while, for a couple of months, and I started feeling empty. So I started reading my Bible again, and about a week after I started reading my Bible, suicide thoughts come into my head all night, and I was so frightened. And I woke up in the morning and I thought to myself, what was that all about? And I knew it was the enemy was angry at me for starting to read my Bible again. So praise God.
Praise the Lord that I am a born again Christian. You know, last week I got a phone call from Saskatoon that my brother was in, not the hospital, he was in, the Jehovah's Witnesses had put him in something separate from the hospital. He'd lost, his blood count had gone way, way, way down, and he shouldn't have been alive. And I didn't know what, right away I started packing. I was getting to Saskatoon, I was going to pray for him. But you remember the storms And my husband wouldn't let me go. Other people said, you're not going. And so I went before the Lord, and I prayed. And I claimed the blood of Jesus, not only in his veins, but over him. And God has undertaken. He is alive. He's not dead. And I praise God that he is a miracle-working God. And now I need to get there and lead him into the kingdom. Amen.
Before God, I had pretty much nothing. And now that God's in my life, I have more than I can really see. I just have to open my eyes and see it all.
I like the way you put that. I have more than I can even see. You know, we have so much, and we're blinded sometimes by everything else that's out there, all the possessions, all the goals, all the success, all the money, all that stuff. Right? We have more than we can even imagine. Go ahead, Luis, and then you get a chance.
Yes. For me, it's very important this day because remember the resurrection. Something that is coming to my head is many people know Jesus, but they don't recognize that Jesus is living with them. And that is the problem, because they are still living on the law. They are still like a slave, but in different time, not a slave for Jesus Christ. And we have to live for Jesus Christ. And something that I want to give you is in Galatians 3:13, say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hang on a tree. Colossians 2:14. Say, having wiped out the handwritten of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So many people are thinking, because my grandpa died because my generation has been dying for the same sickness, generation by generation. They think even when they know Jesus, they are still under this curse. And it's time to know that we have freedom in Jesus Christ. And we have a new life. New life means that we have to practice this life. Sometimes we are still in the human being, in this flesh. But it's a problem. We have to fight every day. If we have a mistake, doesn't mean that we already are perfect, because Jesus Christ saved us, but he is waiting and he understands us that we are still in this weak life, because we are still in this flesh. But we have to fight every day against the flesh, against our wish. And this is the way that we can beat every single day. Because if we are living in this life, we have to trust in Jesus. He died for us, not because he want to die and just read in the Bible and stay there. He want that this made your life different.
God, amen. I'm here. I haven't been here for a while because I've had trouble getting here. I've been sick and then out of a hospital quite a few times. Almost died of pneumonia. Thank you very much for some friends who came to visit me. I'm here to pray for my family, pray for myself. I love this church. I love everyone here. My family's going through such terrible troubles right now, and they need God in their life. If you have a minute or two on your own time, I would hope if you would pray for my younger daughter who is on drugs, and I need her to get God into her life. It's been going on too long. Pray for my son who's in prison because he's doing well and he'll be out next year. But I'm praying for him because he sends me pictures of God. He sends me, or not of God, but of Jesus, sends me pictures of the cross. They're beautiful. He's a great artist. He's a wonderful artist. But he has denied God. So I have sent him prayers into my letters, every letters that we write to each other every second day. And I send him pictures and prayers in those letters. So he has no other choice but to read them. And when he reads them, then he says to me, Mother, send me a miracle. I need a miracle. I asked God this morning before I came to church if he would send a miracle to my son in Manitoba. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to leave that prison and be transferred out to British Columbia. I no sooner did that prayer asking for that miracle from God, and I got a call from his parole officer saying, she wants to get things going for my son and send him to BC. Praise the Lord. Miracles do happen.
Thank you.
I, the Lord, search the heart and know the mind, and will give to everyone according to what he has done, whether good or evil. Therefore, again, I say to you, my children, repent. Keep with bearing fruit in repentance.
My sin demands that I be crucified, but he took my place. I praise him.
Before I was saved, I was always struggling. I had to get this done, had to pay that bill, had to be here, be there. Since I've been saved, I got the peace of the Lord, and I know I don't have to make that happen. I don't have to be there. The Lord's timing and his will be done. So give yourself over to the Lord. Take his peace and enjoy the comfort of his love.
I got to say something to you. Who resides within you? The greater one is in here. And you have to come to that realization. It's the greater one that lives within us. He died for us, but we've invited him in. So the greater one resides within than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? Satan and his liars. And those that say that you have a visitation of somebody through the night and is speaking to you or condemning you or whatever, that's the enemy. Jesus never puts you down. He raises you up. So let's live today, though he is risen, but he's risen within. Okay? Thank you.
Happy Easter. Anyways, I lived in the pit of darkness for many, many years, right? And then about a little over three years ago, I came to Potter's Hands. And slowly and gradually, inch by inch, he helped me pull me out of that pit of despair. And since the last 3 months or so, I've been blessed. My life has been restored. I've been restored and my family's been restored to me. So where is not the miracle? I have good friends, good family, and good people that love me. Thank you.
Look at these beautiful girls. Welcome. One or two more. Go ahead, Rob.
Hello. My name's Rob. At this time of year, well, green's my favorite color, so I'm really bouncing up and down for all the abundance and I see and I'm reminded at this time of year how good life is. It was a bit of endurance trial there for a while. And it's not all up to me. It's not all. I mean, there is personal angst, but there's life is to God, belongs to God, and He gives it to me. Amen.
Jesus, you. Amen.
I've been an addict for a while. And it's not mine to hold on to. Every morning I pray so that He takes it from me. And I've been sober almost a month.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I now have a home to go to tomorrow, thanks to Stan. And a job working with disabled children. Mm-hmm. And it's coming. And I pray every morning that He takes my will and my obsessions and all my hurt and all my pain. And He does. And I'm still sober and I'm the happiest I have ever been.
Jesus. Amen.
Alvin, thank you, God. You guys join in prayer? We're going to pray. Come too. I think it's time to pray. Just hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just pray for freedom, God.
Yes.
Freedom from addiction.
Yes.
Thank you that you're the God of all hope. Amen. And that there's new hope in these two in their lives.
Yes.
Lord. You are a wonderful God. You're amazing.
Yes.
We just pray for God that you give them strength, because it's not about willpower, it's about God power.
Yes, amen.
You will instill them with the power of your Holy Spirit,
yes.
God. And that you'll make it, Lord, so that they can say no. No more drugs, no more drinking. Mm-hmm. Lord, just walking with you.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
We commit them to you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You're
thank
so
you,
good. You're so wonderful, Lord.
Yes.
Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Your word declares that you deliver us from evil, Lord God. And so we just thank you for that, Lord God. You've come to set the captives free, Lord God, to deliver us from all evil, all addictions, Lord God, all pain and suffering, Lord God. You have come. Lord God, because you suffered on the cross, Lord God, for that very purpose, Lord God. You have come to destroy the works of the enemy. And this is the work of the enemy, Lord God, to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, you have come to destroy those works, Lord God. And you choose to work through men and women, Lord God. And we thank you for blessing this couple, Lord God. Hallelujah. Blessing them with the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we see the victory over this couple right now in Jesus' mighty name. We just declare that over them, that the steps of a righteous man, a righteous woman are ordered by God. Hallelujah. And we stand in support of them, Lord God. Hallelujah. And all those other ones that are struggling, Lord God. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And no one comes to the Father but through you, Lord God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we walk in that life. We can live in that life, Lord God. And today we choose you, Lord God, to live in victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Blessings.
Is God good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask Len to come forward. And we don't have offerings very often, but we were going to have one today, and I'll let Len explain it, but it's about worshiping. This is just one of the ways we worship God.
Amen. Amen. As promised last week, we were getting prepared for a collection for today. Unless you're a visitor here for the first time, you know that we never take up, hardly ever take up a collection, right? Right. We do have a slot in the back there where you can put your money if you wish. I think last year we only took up 3 or maybe 4 collections. That's it. And yet, you know, we paid for this building and we paid for the operation of the kitchen and Lazarus House, and everything comes together because we trust God for the outcome. Amen to that? Amen to that. Okay, so this morning, as introduction to the collection we're going to take up, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is last week I announced that the kitchen costed $15,000 a year to run. Well, I was wrong about that. It's only $10,000. Yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is it takes $20,000 to do everything we do. the kitchen, this building, Lazarus House. Takes 19-something thousand dollars a month. So just so you're aware of what the need is in the congregation, there are many, of course, many ways you can contribute to the congregation. You can, little things you can do. You can, for instance, clean up after yourself when you're done here. Sometimes Kathy has to spend half an hour just picking up the cups or mopping up with the spilled stuff. So pick up after yourself. You can offer to help with the sound system. You can offer to help with the operation of the wheelchair lift. That someone should be there to help the Warren and Rose and those who come in wheelchairs. There are many ways to be helpful so that you can be part of the solution instead of the problem. Become a serious volunteer at the kitchen. See Chris or Cindy. They always need more help. Do that. Okay. And the congregation needs your money from time to time. So today, we're collecting for foods and supplies for the kitchen. We're for the heating and electricity for the church, the maintenance of this building, the payroll for the kitchen in Lazarus House. It's faithful giving that keeps this thing going. We do a little bit, God does a whole lot. We learned that last year when we built this building, this wonderful building we're sitting in, and sometimes standing in, and sometimes raising our hands in, because we know that God is as good as his word. Amen? So join me for a moment of prayer as we thank God and dedicate the money that we're collecting today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you go before us, you go behind us, you go to the side of us, above and below us, Lord. We are never alone with your promises and your faithfulness. So today, Lord, we ask you to bless our giving. Bless our giving, Lord, and multiply it according to your word as we give today to your kingdom work and to the work that needs to be done in downtown Redding. We'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So Dave Amen. And Mary will come forward, and Don and Doug will work on this side. Doug, you're on the far side. Dave, you're on that side. We'll all work out in the middle.
Okay. We're going to worship just as we do this. So.
Thank you for your faithful giving.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. No one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. No one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. The ashes we rise. No one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stronger. you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again?
There's nothing he can't do. And we heard about it. We heard the testimonies. We've been hearing about how God's changing lives. And I just remind you too about that it's never too late. What Bill was saying, we can repent. There's a time to turn to God. Maybe that time is today. There's a time to open up our hearts to him. There's a time to ask him. You can ask anybody else. It's not going to help. But you ask God, you ask Jesus, you say, come into my heart and change me, give me direction, give me focus, make me new. And Jesus says, that's what I'm all about. I'm all about making you new. I'm all about opening your heart and giving you hope where there doesn't seem to be hope right now. I'm just telling you today that there are dozens, dozens and dozens of people, even here and throughout the city, whose lives are being changed because God is alive. Because Jesus is alive, the ministry of Jesus Christ carries on, and people change. Even though the world is cynical, and people say all the time, well, no one, people can't change. That's not true. We can't change on our own, but we can change in the resurrection power that Jesus Christ offers us. You just got to know that today. And you know, we're really not trying to accomplish a whole lot here today except to say thank you, Lord. That's if we leave here today and we've done that, then we've done what we're supposed to do, just to praise God and worship him. And you know, for one person that might be that you just sit quietly in your chair and you say it inwardly. Someone else, they might be on their knees. Someone else might be on their face. Someone else might be on the stairs coming to the altar. But we just can't leave here today without worshiping the risen Christ, without lifting him up, without saying glory to God, without saying hallelujah. Hallelujah, he is alive. He's alive. And if that wasn't true, we'd all still be dead. We'd be dead in our sins. But because he's alive, I'm alive. Thank you, God. I want to open God's word to John 20 today. And it's really important. We hear from each other. That's a great thing. We encourage each other. Fellowship is important. But there isn't anything like listening to what God says and what's in his word. We need to hear from God. And this morning, I want to focus on the person of Mary Magdalene. And in John's gospel, Mary Magdalene is the number one character, the number one person in this drama next to Jesus. So for John, in the Gospel of John, he makes a big deal about Mary. Mary's important, and she comes and she goes and gets the disciples, Peter and John, and then she goes back again to the tomb. And I want you to just think about Mary and notice how John describes her in this passage. I think it's profound. John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple, who's John, started at the tomb, and both were running, started out for the tomb. Both were running. The other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. This is an interesting note that he makes. He says, and the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen, nice and neatly. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and he believed. But they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I'm just going to stop here. When it says here that Peter and John saw and believed, it's not meaning that they believed that Jesus was alive. They didn't believe that yet. They weren't aware of Jesus being resurrected. They believed, what John says here, they believed that the body was stolen. That's what they believed, okay? So let's just read that again. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and he believed what Mary had told them. Because, here's in parenthesis, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise. He had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She didn't run away. She didn't leave. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." And at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, I'm having trouble here today. Just be patient. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene, he makes it very clear, he gives her the whole name. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said, these things to her, that Jesus had said those things. "Go and tell them." It's a story about disciples and Mary running to the, running to the tomb. We're told that it was very dark in the morning. I'm just trying to imagine. I want you to try to imagine with me today. I think we've got to try to put ourselves in her place a little bit. But imagine Mary. In John's gospel, we don't hear about the other women. There likely were a few other women because Luke and Matthew tell us that there were at least two or three women. But for John, this is all about Mary Magdalene. He doesn't talk about the other women, the other Mary, and I think it was Cleopas who was there as well. He's only interested in Mary Magdalene. And he says, Mary Magdalene, very early in the morning, she went to the tomb. And that it was still dark. And as she came to the tomb, she realized that the stone had been rolled away. I just, kind of thinking about what that must be like when it's completely dark out. And she probably didn't even know the stone was rolled away until she kind of got really close to the tomb. And then she saw that there was just this big gaping hole where the stone should be. And I'm wondering whether she didn't, in that darkness, she must have wondered, well, what's going on? Why is the stone rolled away? And what's happened? I hope Jesus is still in there. And I wonder in that darkness if she found the ledge or the bench that Jesus' body was on. And she felt, because it was so dark, you know, did she feel for the body and find that Jesus wasn't there by her fingertips? And finding that there's just the linen was there, just the cloth, the burial cloths were there. And it's striking to me that Mary makes an assumption, and it's not an unusual assumption. I think we all would make that assumption, but she makes the assumption that someone has stolen Jesus, right? And this is what this is all about. Who took Jesus? What's going on? Why is Jesus not in the tomb? She could have said right away, he's risen. He's alive, right? Yes, it's what he said. He said that on the third day he would rise from the dead. She could have made that assumption, but she's human, kind of like us. And she made a more natural assumption. She assumed that they'd stolen his body. Because after all, dead is dead. Dead is dead, man. When someone's dead, that's it. When they stop breathing and their heart is no longer pumping and they've been in that rock or in that tomb for 3 days, dead is dead. And so she, seeing that there was no Jesus in the grave, there's no Jesus in the tomb, she made the assumption that they had stolen him. And it's just two totally different reactions, right? I mean, the one reaction, and we know, we're so blessed today to know that Jesus is alive. But when you don't know that and you just think someone has stolen him, what have they done with Jesus? That was the cry from Mary. Hear that again, because this is an important cry. You got to know this. What have they done with Jesus? And when you're feeling that, then you're not going, hallelujah, he is risen. That's the other side. What you're doing is you're going, what have they done with Jesus? Why is he missing? You know, if you're praising God because he's alive, your hands are like this. You're going, praise the Lord, hallelujah, he is risen. But when you think, no, they stole him, your hands are not like this, they're like this. Oh, what have they done with Jesus? You understand, there's a big difference between those two assumptions. We can assume that he was alive, which we know to be true today, or she made a natural assumption instead that they stole his body for whatever reason they stole the body of Jesus. So she runs back, gets the disciples, particularly John and Peter, and brings them back to see the evidence. Look, Jesus is missing. And they go back to get the other disciples, or maybe just to tell the other disciples what's going on. But this is noteworthy. Mary stays there. And we're told that she was sitting there and she was weeping. In fact, we're told that three times in those verses. We kind of get a second look at Mary, a second glimpse of her. She's sitting, and now by now the dawn has come. By now the light has shone. And she's sitting there and she's weeping. Three times the word God says that she was crying, and they asked her, the two angels, and Jesus himself asked, why are you weeping? You want to sit down? There you go. Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping, Mary? She's weeping because there is this tremendous sense of loss. And here's what I'm going to ask you today, to just try to think about what that's like. How hard that must have been for Mary, that she came to the tomb and her Jesus was stolen. There's this tremendous sense of loss. Yeah, you know, maybe you've had it before where something is missing all of a sudden in your life, and you know, something you don't expect to be missing. I don't think she went to the grave thinking that Jesus wouldn't be there. She was just, you know, I have the ointments. I'm going to go and anoint him. She just assumed she knew that Jesus was going to be there. But just imagine the sense of loss. It's almost a sense of being barren, you know, being childless. There's this loss. There's this tragic, what happened? Why is Jesus not here? Who stole him away? And her heart was broken. Her heart was ripped out. Just, it was ripped out inside of her. And so she's sitting down and she's weeping. And she must have been, she must have been so distraught, because when she's sitting there and she's weeping, she looks into the empty tomb and she sees two angels sitting there. And John tells us that the angels are dressed in white. So they weren't wearing a disguise. They were wearing the white stuff that angels wear, I guess. And they were shining, right? And they're in the tomb. And we're told she looked in the tomb and the angel said, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, "Well, it's because they stole my Jesus." Isn't it kind of amazing that she doesn't go, "How come there are angels? You know, what are you doing there?" Yeah, right? I mean, she is so distraught. I think that's really what's happening. She's so distraught. Her eyes are so filled with tears that she doesn't even recognize. This shows us the depth of her sorrow. She doesn't even recognize that those two who are in the tomb are angels. Maybe she's rubbed her eyes so much, or she's, you know, sometimes when you're crying, in fact, in the Greek language, this is, she was wailing. She was uncontrollably wailing and crying. She was doing this. None of you have ever done that before. That's hard to do when you, she's crying like that. And so she's in such distress, that's what I'm trying to explain. She's in such distress that she doesn't even notice that those two are angels, nor does she notice that the gardener is Jesus, right? She doesn't even get it. She is so convinced that dead is dead, that there's no sense in thinking, there's no sense in believing that Jesus could be alive. Wow. We know that Mary had an intensely close relationship with Jesus and with the other disciples. And most of us know the past that Mary had. It wasn't a very pretty past. Mary was a prostitute. Mary was someone who came to Jesus and she knelt before him and she anointed his feet, and then with her long hair, she wiped his feet and worshipped him and became a servant before him. And she's given that title, the sinful woman. I'd like to have that title. You know, she's the sinful woman who came to Jesus that day and anointed his feet because of the life that she lived of promiscuity and prostitution. Except that none of that's true. I know a lot of us have believed that for years. I'm just going to tell you today, none of that's true. Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. There is absolutely no biblical evidence that says that she's a prostitute. There's a pope back in 595 who preached a sermon where he made that assumption. He said, Mary Magdalene is the same woman who's the sinful woman who anointed Jesus and who was the prostitute. And he said, I think that's the same person. And from that point on, all kinds of art and all kinds of stories and everything was attributed to Mary, that Mary was a prostitute. There is absolutely no evidence of that in the scriptures. Mary was not a prostitute. Mary was a disciple. Mary was a follower of Jesus. And as a matter of fact, there's only one other time in the scriptures where Mary Magdalene is mentioned, and that's in Luke chapter 8, other than the stories of the resurrection. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, Mary is mentioned in every one of those. We know that she was at the resurrection. We know that Mary was at the cross. She stood there at the cross. We know that Mary came to the empty tomb. Here is the only other time that Mary Magdalene is described for us in Luke chapter 8. I want you to listen to this. That Jesus, in Luke 8 verse 1, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been, listen now, women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. So here's the thing. We don't know Mary Magdalene. If we ask most people, 95% of Christians or people who read their Bible would say, yeah, Mary Magdalene, she was a prostitute, and she was a loose woman, and you know, she was the one who went to Jesus. None of that's true. What is true, what's actually the truth about Mary Magdalene is that at one time in her life, she was possessed with seven spirits, and Jesus delivered her. Jesus delivered her from every single one of those spirits. So, I mean, it's kind of an anomaly. It's almost an interesting thing, right? I mean, Mary, we don't even know who this Mary is, even though it's because we're not reading the Bible. We're listening to what other people have said, and it's passed on down in tradition. You read or you see the movies, Mel Gibson's movie or Scorsese's movie. They all have Mary as the prostitute. She wasn't the prostitute. Let's get that in our heads. What she was, and this is why it's important, what she was is that she was a woman who was greatly afflicted by demonic forces. She had seven demons in her, and we're told very little about how Jesus delivered her from those demons. But I got a good sense, because demons in the New Testament are often named, think of Legion, for example, I have a good sense that every one of those demons that she was possessed back then before she was healed had a name. And that Jesus, when he healed her, he said, no more Jezebel, no more Bathsheba, no more Jill, or whoever. You are Mary. You are only Mary. You are Mary. You are not Rachel. You are not Bethany. I command Rachel and Bethany and Jezebel and Bathsheba, I command them out of you. And Mary remained. Why is that important? Because when Jesus, the gardener, looked at Mary, he just said one word. Mary. You get it? Mary. There's something, listen to me. There's something about when God knows your name. There's something about it. When God knows your name and he calls your name, he says, Jason and Hilly, Doug. There's something about it. When God says, I know you, Anna. I know you. You're mine. Mitchell, there's something about it when God speaks your name. And we know that we have a relationship because he knows our name. And we know that there's revelation involved because he's alive and I'm alive. And that's why this is such a big deal that he says Mary. Because he had eliminated, listen, he had eliminated all the other voices. You want to call them personalities? You want to call them, they were demons, the Bible says. She was filled with spirits, evil spirits. They were gone. There's something about it when God knows your name. And I want you to know that this morning, that God knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows you by name. You are precious in his sight. And he speaks your name because he wants you to come to him. He really does. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to have a relationship. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know that no matter what kind of a mess you're in, what kind of trouble you're in, he can get you out of it. But you need to turn to him. He can deliver you from the enemy. He can deliver you from those evil voices. He can deliver you from the possession. He's a God who delivers. Amen? Anyone with me on that? Is that good news? Yeah, thank you, God. Here's my water. Yes. She, I don't know. But can we talk about it later? Okay. I need some water. There it is. We're not done yet. There's one final thing that we just need to understand today, and that is that there's still a lot of people today who are asking that same question of Mary Magdalene that she was asking, and it's a question is, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where have they taken him? Why is he missing? And I want to point out this morning two places in particular where that question is being asked. The same question that I believe the disciples were asking, and the same question that clearly Mary was asking Now, where is Jesus? What have they done with him? There are two places I want to focus on. Where is Jesus? Where is he? Coming into church is a question where a lot of people are asking that question. People come to church wondering, where is Jesus? What have you done with him? What have you, just give me a sec, okay? What have you done with him? What have you done with him? What has become so important in the church that Jesus isn't preeminent anymore? What have you done with the living Lord? There's a lot of churches where Jesus has taken the back burner. It's much more about our budget or our program or our church or growing big or 100 other things. We need to understand that, my friends, that this, what we're doing here, what's happening at Potter's Hands needs to be about Jesus Christ, and that's it. It has to be about Jesus, and that people cannot come in here going, well, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with the man who loved me? What did you do with the Savior who's alive? Why has it become so much more important how we look or how we dress or what our doctrine is or what our theology is or how good our worship band is? Why has that become so important? What did you do? What did you do with my Jesus? You know what that means is that we're going to have to be ready to let those doors be open up and to let people come in who are seeking him. We're going to have to be willing to, you know, this finger, kind of keep it down so we're not pointing at them. So we're not judging them. We're not condemning them. We're not wondering why they're stumbling in here again. Myra died a couple days ago. Some of you, you might not know Myra by name, but you'd know her because she came in here lots of times. She was here a dozen times drunk. And would stumble to the front, sometimes with Russell, and would come for prayer and then stumble back out again. Myra died, but at least she came here. And we need to understand that this has got to be a place where it's about Jesus and that everyone is welcome, everyone. That everyone can be a part of the family of God. Yeah. So That's the first place that people are looking. They're looking, they're coming into the church. They're coming into this church. They're coming to all kinds of churches, but they're asking that question. If I come into your church, am I going to find Jesus? Will he be there? Or am I just going to find a lot of religion, a lot of laws, a lot of judgment? Am I going to find Jesus if I come to your church? Or is he missing? And have we just got a nice, big, empty tomb? The second place where people are looking to find Jesus is in us. Yeah. They're looking hard. They're looking at whether that Jesus is in your heart. Do you really have Jesus in your heart? Are you really going to love me? Are you really going to understand my brokenness? Are you really going to put your arms around me when I am a miserable failure? Are you really going to show me Jesus?
Always.
Hallelujah. I picked a good candidate. I would have been okay here too, actually. You understand? We need to have Jesus in us, right? If people come in contact, and this is a struggle, and it's too easy for us to go, oh yeah, we're fine there. I got Jesus in my heart. People are seeing Jesus in me. Are they really? Because I think sometimes they're not seeing him in me, and I'm challenged by that. The people, when they encounter us, when we talk to them, when we maybe have a coffee with them or we see them in the kitchen, they want to know if the Jesus that we talk about, is he really in your heart? Is he really there? Do you really have Jesus, or is there just a hollow heart and it's just a lot of words and it's just a bunch of bull? That's what they want to know. That's what they want to know. So yeah, we celebrate today. And I'm so glad that Mary asked that question, you know. And she, if you read it carefully, and I just encourage you to do that later, there's two times that she cries that out. What have you done with my Jesus? What have you done? Where have you put him? Where have you put them? And, you know, the question is, it's interesting to me that it's not, she never asks why. She asks where. I'd be asking why. You know, what's the matter with you people? Why would you take Jesus? Why would you grab him? Why would you desecrate his body? Like, the why questions would be the ones coming to me. Why are you guys so whacked? Mary never asked that question. She just asked the question, where? All she wanted to know is one thing. Where is he? And that is all that they want to know of us. Where is he? Is he here? Is he here? We need to show that. Amen? You can put that on, right?
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. And Lord, we also thank you that we were raised up with you. And Lord, we thank you for all those in here today, Lord, that haven't received you yet into their heart. And Lord, we just pray right now that anyone in here, Lord, that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would just repent of their sins and ask you to come into their heart and be their Lord and their Savior. It's not complicated. He just hears you, and he will come in, and he says, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit, and then be baptized and be born of water. And that is how simple it is. Father, we thank you for the offering that you gave us, your Son, your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love that was poured out on the cross for us through Jesus. And now we are hidden in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Lord, we praise you. Lord, I'm in so much awe of you this morning. Like Crystal said, Lord, we don't know how to say thank you. It just seems like it's not enough. But it is, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. You are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Now you sit at the right hand of God, and we call you our King, Jesus, Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you that you'll touch each one in here, Lord, that is sick, because you took all that sickness on the cross. And we don't have to bear any sicknesses or diseases. They're just lying symptoms, and we command them to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive your healing, your deliverance this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say amen. Listen to me, you matter. And that's what it's really about. He wouldn't have died if you didn't matter. He wouldn't have died if he didn't love you. And I know that there's some of you here today that you just need to hear that. It's God saying that today. You matter. I love you. And I can help you. I will help you. I am your God, whether you've known it before or not. You matter. And something needs to change. Something needs to change. It's not working the way you're living. And God says you matter. I want to help you with that too. So here's how we're going to end our service. We're going to just worship God and sing a couple songs of worship. And I'm just going to invite you to come to the front. And some of you are just going to come to worship. And you can lay down, you can stand up, you can get on your knees, come to the front, or just sit with you where you are. If you want to worship God right where you are, that's fine. Or if you want to get on your knees and turn towards your chair, you know, that's fine too. We're going to worship God. We're going to finish this by worshiping him. And there's just a couple things I want you to just hear before we do that, though. And that is, when Don has Bible. Stand up, Don. I'm going to make this quick. If you don't have a Bible, you need one. You don't have a map. You don't know how to live without that Bible. So Don's got Bibles for you today. Go and see him. And the second thing is, on Saturday, we're having a men's breakfast. I think it's at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we welcome you to come. It's just another good time to encourage and build each other up. So come 8 o'clock for a men's breakfast. Now we worship God. So just, if you want to go, you can go. If you want to come, it's time to come to the front. Give him your heart.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made.
Worship God.
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee.
Something you need to leave here, you know? Is there something, let me ask you that. Is there something you need to leave here? You can't keep bringing it. You can't keep carrying it. That unforgiveness, that sin, that addiction. Come and get on your knees right now. Just come. Don't be afraid.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
creation, I think.
longer keep.
Shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the risen Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, one in the midst of thank you.
Come here for a minute. Keith.
He's not here. He's at home.
He went to, he took off.
When you tell him about it, you had breakfast?
No. This is what I was telling him about. This is the wireless hookup for his mouse.